Sweet. The two biggest positions down, probably only two more to go. So we'll move along to the wide receiver position, and let's start with our team in our game this week out in Washington, D.C. Stephon Diggs, can we count on him for some, you know, decent fantasy production this week against a Redskins defense that at times is really good and at times is really vulnerable?
Yeah, so I think the nice thing for Diggs is I don't expect Josh Norman to shadow him this week. I don't, you know, obviously I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but, you know, with Josh Norman being more of a bigger, he deals with a lot of bigger receivers and on the outside, Diggs is more, you know, kind of the makeshift slot receiver.
Yep, a little Antonio Brown to him, I always say.
Yeah, right. I don't expect a shadow, so if that's the case, I don't think there's a lot of people that can match up with Diggs on that Redskins defense. So, and with this kind of makeshift offense, you know, with Pat Shurmur taking over last week, like you saw last week, I think Diggs had 14 targets and he caught 13 of them, and the one target he didn't get, he dropped on the screen. So if that target share is going to continue in PPR leagues, I think he went up over 20 points last week. So I do expect it to be a good output for him. And another little tidbit too, he's from the Baltimore area, so I expect it to be more of it's a homecoming for him. So I just kind of expect that to be a little bit more of a motivator for him.
Are there any more Vikings wide receivers that you like what you saw in, you know, Pat Shurmur's first use of them last week, you know, moving forward, maybe like a Cordarrelle Patterson or an Adam Thielen, and even possibly for this week?
Yeah, I like Cordarrelle. I think Cordarrelle's he's starting to become more and more a focal point of that offense, and they're starting to utilize him the way he was his rookie year. I mean, he's not doing anything out of the backfield like he used to, but a lot of the screen game and then just getting him involved in the offense in general. I think with the quick passing, and I think he had maybe 7 or 8 receptions last week, and then he ended up dropping a touchdown. But he's getting the targets and he's getting the opportunities. So I think with that, he's starting to become a more reliable potential flex option, you know, week in and week out. That'd be something I keep an eye on. And if you're in need, he might be a guy to do that with. And then Adam Thielen right now, with Diggs back, I just think it's harder for Thielen to establish himself. I mean, he'll have his receptions and he'll get some targets, but he's not the focal point of the offense like he was in against Houston when Diggs was out. So it's not quite as exciting to play him week in like it would be if he was the focal point of the offense. So it's something, he's not a guy I'd rely on, Thielen, but he's a guy that if you're, you know, in need of a flyer, he's always a reliable option that you know could get you close to 10 points in PPR leagues, excuse me.
Yep, no, absolutely. I agree with all those points. On the other team side, what can we, if you had to pick, and I guess I'm saying that you do have to pick, if you had to pick one wide receiver, tight ends excluded, of course, one wide receiver on the Redskins side of the ball that's, you know, or the one that's going to produce the most fantasy numbers, who is that, and what's a decent expectation of those numbers to be?
Yeah, right now for me, excluding tight end, I'd say Jamison Crowder, their slot receiver. He, the last few weeks before their bye, over 100 receptions, and he scored back-to-back touchdowns before the bye, you know, in 2 weeks in a row. He's just been really reliable, and Kirk Cousins has taken advantage of his mismatches in the slot. And I think with Captain Monerlin potentially being out this week, sounds like he's day-to-day with an ankle injury, but I just don't know if, you know, how reliable he can be even coming off that injury. If he plays this week, you know, he won't be his full 100% self. So I think Crowder's the guy. You saw the slot matchup once Monerlin went out last week with Bolden and, you know, Eric Ebron. Obviously, he's a tight end, but still, you know, running down the seams and doing stuff inside. You saw the Lions take advantage of that against our defense. So I think the Redskins will try to do the same thing with Crowder, who's looking really good right now.
Oh, completely agree. I think you hit the nail right on the head on that one. Moving to other wide receivers in other games, on my wide receivers that I like this week, most of them are the usual big names, A.J. Green and Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry as well, who I'm always big on, especially in PPR leagues, having to keep up with Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon. I think he's going to have plenty of touches for Miami. And then a name that a lot of people put a high draft investment into that has not, you know, has had a very disappointing fantasy season so far to this standpoint, DeAndre Hopkins. I actually like DeAndre Hopkins' matchup this week on the road against Jacksonville. And if you've still, you know, if you're still hanging in there holding out for hope on DeAndre and he's still on your team, I'd make sure he's in your lineup this week at least as a flex option, if not your wide receiver number two. What are your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins this week?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think at this point in the season, the way he's produced, not really his fault. I think it's been more of his quarterback. He's just been, a credit to, it's a poor opportunity for him just because he's so talented. Yep. But I do agree with you. I think this is a good week to play him, especially. But I think if you haven't gotten to the point where if you're still relying on him to be your top receiver on your team, then I don't think you're probably doing very well in fantasy.
Yeah, you're probably not even setting your lineup Sunday mornings anymore.
Right. And again, it's not that he's not good. It's not on him. It's more on his quarterback and the ineffectiveness that Brock Osweiler brings to DeAndre Hopkins.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so I do like his matchup this week, though, and I think things are starting to look up a little bit for them and getting a little bit better with Osweiler, especially coming off the bye. I'm sure they're going to try to, get the ball in their playmakers' hands, like Hopkins and Fuller and Lamar Miller. So it's an encouraging thing, like you said, that, he could be a flex or a wide receiver two option this week.
Other than the five fairly big names that I brought up, are there any other wide receivers or maybe smaller names, sleeper types or big names that I just missed, that you really like their matchup this week and feel really strong about them being a wide receiver number one option?
I really like guys like Jordan Matthews. He's kind of in the middle tier right now, but I think you saw him have a lot of receptions and a touchdown last week against Dallas. Or no, excuse me, 2 weeks ago against Dallas. I just think he's starting to come on a little bit more in that offense.
Totally agree.
And
a great matchup.
He's got a great matchup against Atlanta, who struggled against the pass. So I do like him a lot this week. I expect guys like, I think Michael Thomas, it's weird. I know they're playing Denver, but again, I know we've talked about it at home, but Michael Thomas has looked really, really good, especially over the last few weeks. He's put a string together of some really good games, and he's become their de facto number one receiver, and he's earning Drew Brees' trust. And even against Denver, I'm not really sure where Aqib Talib is. I know he's been injured and hasn't played, so that's kind of hurt their defense for Denver. Mm-hmm. So if he's still out, I think Michael Thomas especially is a really good play this week, because I don't think they have anybody that can match up as well as a guy like Talib could against Michael Thomas right now with the way he's playing.
I totally agree. Since we're on those Saints receivers, I actually, if I was to, if I had the choice between all of them, and I'm not saying I would bench him, but I actually have the lowest expectations for Cooks this week, given the matchup against that Denver defense and how they like to use him. But I feel very good and confident, like you do, about the Michael Thomas matchup, and even some Willie Snead maybe getting
totally
in the action too. I think you hit all of them that I had written down too. I forgot to mention, and well, we alluded to it a little bit with the quarterbacks, or at least you did, was the Denver wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I think they're both very strong plays this week, and I'd play them both with confidence as well.
Agreed. And just watch, this game's going to turn into a defensive shootout and just pick off all the fantasy owners.
Yeah, right. It'll be 13-10 New Orleans.
Another guy I do kind of like this week too, I didn't really touch on it, again, it's a lot of the matchups. I like the Cardinals receivers, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, obviously, and then I think J.J. Nelson's a good sleeper this week. He's become They've announced him as one of the de facto starters on that offense over Michael Floyd. So he's a good matchup against San Francisco this week, as well as most of their guys. And then Mike Wallace to go along with, if Steve Smith healthy. I think Mike Wallace, you know, they try to get him a deep pass at least once or twice a game. So he'll take advantage of that.
And, again, it's one of the two best matchups in football this week, you know, with the Ravens hosting the Browns and the Cardinals hosting the 49ers. Those are definitely should be your most predictable lopsided matchups, especially from a fantasy standpoint. And possibly before we move to the, you know, watch out for or tamper expectations wide receivers, possibly Alshon Jeffrey or that C. Meredith guy who was really good for 2 weeks and then disappeared for the last couple weeks. It would not surprise me if Jay Cutler got something going on against that Bucs defense with one of those two guys.
I guarantee it'll for sure be Alshon, just because they have the history and they have the chemistry together.
Right.
But then so, you sprinkle in a guy like Cameron Meredith, and I think he'll start getting more opportunities. And, you know, he's starting to get more practice time with a guy like Jay Cutler, which he probably wasn't getting previously before Cutler's injury, or even, you know, obviously while he was injured. So,
all right. Well, enough positivity about wide receivers that we like this week. Let's get to some cynicism and pessimism. Receivers I've got on my list to either A, avoid, or B, just lower expectations a little bit, depending on what your, you know, roster options allow you to do. I'm not huge on Julio this week, although I will be playing him on the teams that I have him. I think Doug Baldwin on the road against the Patriots is definitely a high-risk play for me this week, at least. Allen Robinson all year long out in Jacksonville, but also going up against what on paper is a very tough Texans pass defense. And then whoever they've got out there in New York for the Jets, trying to catch balls from whoever they've got trying to throw them. I don't like any Jets wide receivers. And then we already talked about Cooks, you know, just lowering the expectations a little bit from a matchup standpoint. Jordy Nelson going up against a tough defense and having a downer year, not looking like Jordy. And Terrell Pryor, primarily because of the matchup. I mean, they're going to get him touches, but I don't see a lot of scoring opportunities at all for anyone wearing Cleveland Browns brown and orange in that game. Any thoughts or disagreement or names I missed on
the list? I'm in agreement with a lot of what you have to say. Allen Robinson's just lucky because he gets the garbage time with Blake Bortles. If there was no garbage time in fantasy football, he would probably be dropped and not owned. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, his stats right now. It's not his fault. Just like DeAndre Hopkins, it's the quarterback play, not the receiver play, that's just been a lackluster and ineffective. But I do have a couple big name wide receivers that I think are droppable at this point.
Okay, shoot.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a guy like DeSean Jackson, he's just so hit or miss. He's a boom or bust type player. He's either banged up, going through something where he's not healthy. And I just think a guy like Jamison Crowder has become, and Jordan Reed are the top options in Washington. And then another guy, Jeremy Maclin, I think he's gotten to the point where he's a little bit banged up too, but he's just been so ineffective and hasn't done anything for that team in terms of fantasy. So I think he's become a guy, if you need to drop a player and he's the worst player in your roster, get rid of him at this point. He's not a guy I'm holding on to if I need to fill my roster in other places.
That's just a great fantasy football philosophy to remember every once in a while, just in general, is to not get over caught up and make decisions based off of a person's name and how familiar you are with it. Really try as much as you can to remove your fandom from your fantasy football decisions. Look at the numbers that are relevant and most recent and make the best informed decision based off of that and not off of outdated expectations. Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. Well, we're starting to get close to our end time. We got one position yet to go over, and it's the tight end position. People don't care as much. So it should be easy making it fairly quick. But we'll definitely start with our game, Vikings versus Washington Redskins. I think both tight ends, assuming that Jordan Reed is you know, fairly fully healthy and firing on most or all cylinders, I think both tight ends should produce fairly well in this game. How do you feel about the tight end matchup in this one?
No, I totally agree. I would temper my expectations for Kyle Rudolph only for the fact that with how bad TJ Clemmings has played at right tackle, you've just seen him have to stay in more to block to help him out, because it's just kind of the point again where TJ Clemmings can't hold up one-on-one against a defensive end, so he needs help, which is hurting a guy like Kyle Rudolph, who I think only had, what, maybe two receptions last week. He got, you know, that touchdown in the red zone, which is very fortunate if you started him in fantasy, but he just has to stay in and help out with that, so that kind of hurts his fantasy value. Love Jordan Reed, like you had said, so that's a really good point. I think he'll have a lot of a similar effect to the way Eric Ebron did last week against the Vikings.
Completely agree. I think the one wild card yet that all we can do is wait and see is our new offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur. We've only got 1 week of seeing kind of what he wants to do from a play calling standpoint and how he's trying to use some of this team's weapons on offense. And it might just be a thing where, you know, tight end getting Rudolph involved wasn't step one last week.
Yeah.
And very possible that he makes that a focal point to work into, to make an element of the offense this week. But I don't know. I got no inside information on that, but it's definitely something I'd like to see. If they don't plan on it yet, I hope they do sometime soon before it's too late, because we need Kyle Rudolph being involved in this offense on a week-to-week basis if our offense wants to be able to hang in there with the other teams we're going up against and not, you know, making it so hard on our defense every week, just asking so much of them to keep that score so low, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, other tight ends that I like this week, and maybe you do too, Dennis Pitta in Baltimore going up against the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns defense has allowed a reception touchdown to a tight end for like 6 or 7 or 8 weeks in a row, another just ridiculous almost all season long stat that I saw. Exploited very easily and often last week by Jason Witten, who came out of his coma in Dallas, and you know, I was lucky enough to pick up for one of my fantasy teams and play him because Gronk was on a bye, so I was very happy about that. So what I'm hoping I learned from that is that if you got a halfway decent tight end going up against the Cleveland Browns, play that halfway decent tight end.
Yeah.
And that's my feelings this week with the Ravens and Dennis Pitta. Agree? Disagree?
Oh, 100% agree.
Awesome. Cool.
I was fortunate to be able to pick up Jason Witten last week with a tight end with Jordan Reed on bye, and that really paid off.
Yep, awesome. The other names I got, and some of them are because I feel they're a little matchup proof. That would be Gronk and Greg Olsen. But then the other two that I like, because yeah, they're really good, but I actually like their matchups this week as well too, would be Delanie Walker at home against the Packers, who are really good at stopping the run. So I think that Mariota is going to have to work Delanie Walker into that game plan more than they would maybe like to, with how much they've been dominating with Henry and Murray in the backfield. And then also Tyler Eifert kind of being a nice wild card in that Monday night game, with a lot of attention assumingly going to A.J. Green and a Giants pass defense that's mediocre at best for the most part. I could really see him being a top tight end for fantasy this week. Thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to just make note with Tyler Eifert too. I think it only helps a guy like A.J. Green, because they finally got their number two guy back in Tyler Eifert, who they've been waiting. You know, he was injured most of to start the season. So
yep.
The week before their bye, he went off and did really well in London against Washington. So I think that's a good point with the Kyle Rudolph thing too. You saw, you know, a tight end exploit the Redskins defense and Tyler Eifert you know, 2 weeks ago. So I love Tyler Eifert, and I think he's only going to be more healthy, you know, as we go on. So he's a really good play most weeks right now. He'll be a top five tight end for me moving forward. And then also, too, with, like you said, with Gronk, obviously, he's matchup proof. And then what was the other guy? Delanie Walker. Yeah. Obviously, Greg Olsen's the you know, matchup proof, too, like you had said. Delanie Walker, I know he's a little bit banged up, but I think he's going to be good to go, and they're going to need him if they want to beat Green Bay. So I think, again, he's a good matchup, too, so that's a good point. Yeah, I would definitely go with Delanie Walker this week.
All right. The only two names I was able to come up with for my maybe lower expectations just a little bit than usual were Jimmy Graham on the road against the New England Patriots, as well as Travis Kelce on the road against the Carolina Panthers. Did I miss anyone?
No, those are actually Travis Kelce is one of my kind of avoid guys this week. So cool. That's a really good point. So I'm right on par with you, man.
Man, well, all right. Hey, if there's only one thing that we have to work on, you know, for the next couple shows, and it's finding ways to disagree more often. You know,
right.
That's all right. We'll take it. All right. So we went through all the positions. I think now that means – actually, well, hold on before I get ahead of myself. Real quick, who's on bye? Since we didn't – I don't know if we actually specifically pointed that out yet.
We're in the thick of the bye season right now. So it's right now you're looking at teams. Excuse me, just making sure I'm on my list here. You have Oakland. The list disappeared on me. Hold on. Okay.
Oh no.
Yeah. So you got Oakland, Buffalo, Detroit, and Indianapolis. So you're missing some guys, you know, for Buffalo. You're missing Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy. For Detroit, you're missing Matthew Stafford, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, and Eric Ebron, and then Theo Riddick. For Indianapolis, you're missing Andrew Luck, Frank Gore, T. Wiseman, Dante Moncrief, and Jeff Doyle.
And hopefully not Raiders, the Colts defense.
Yeah. I hope you're not relying on the Colts defense. But for the Raiders, you're missing Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree. So you got a plethora of people you got to plug in for.
There are some very big names in that list. Are there any significant injuries to any big name people that we didn't touch on in our analysis of position players and matchups?
I haven't really seen a lot. I think it sounds like Jaquizz Rodgers, I don't know if you'd call him a big name, but Jaquizz Rodgers and Doug Martin are still out for Tampa.
Sure.
So they're going to be and they lost their other their third running back, Anton Smith, for the season too. So they're running really thin.
Jeez.
So that's a tough one to muster for them, unfortunately, but otherwise, I touched on Delanie Walker just a bit, but it sounds like he's going to be good to go.
Is your man Hunter Henry going to be back?
I didn't really expect to see that. I think it was more of a concussion, if I'm not wrong.
I think you're right.
And I know it's just been lingering on. It sounds like he returned to practice. Oh, and he had a little bit. He banged up his knee a little bit. So he missed Tennessee last week, but sounds like he returned to practice on a limited basis. I would, again, temper expectations for him right now, you know, just coming off the concussion and a knee injury. But I do like, if you don't have Hunter Henry and you're in need of a tight end, I do like Antonio Gates. They have worked him back into that offense. Old man time right there. He's got touchdowns in back-to-back games, so I think they're going to – That should happen 3 weeks in a row for me, I would expect.
Awesome. All right. Well, now it is officially time for Miles and I to put our Monopoly money, that is, where our mouths are, and pick our players to go head-to-head in an epic battle for all-time bragging rights. this week. I won last week again to take my a very narrow 3-2-1 lead so far in the season, which I'm hoping not to lose. But in the spirit of fair competition and friendliness, I would like to offer you the first pick this week for your team.
Oh, you would give me the first pick.
You like how I disguise that?
Yeah, I'm not sure who I'm going to want to go with to start. Maybe I'll start with a quarterback, and I think I might go with, you know what, I think I'm going to rock Phillip Rivers this week.
Nice.
I know you talked a lot about him. I like him a lot. He's at home, and Miami's past defense hasn't been that good.
Awesome. Well, for my picks, I'll stay quarterback, definitely. I was absolutely sickened at how big the names were on my team last week. That's just not me. I don't roll like that. So I'm going to try and kind of yang this week to last week's yin. And I am going with Joe Flacco at home.
Oh, okay.
Hosting the Cleveland Browns as my quarterback. Out of anybody I could have picked in all of football other than Phillip Rivers, I'm rolling with Joe Flacco this week.
That's a good option. I mean, good sleeper, but he plays a pretty bad defense.
Yeah, we'll see if it works out for me. I don't know.
Well, why don't you keep it rolling and we'll see next pick.
All right. Well, I am going to... I would love to make my next pick, actually, because I wanted... This is key to, my hopeful victory this week against you, Miles. I'm taking... I got my number one quarterback that I had. And I'm taking my number one tight end, who plays on the same team as my quarterback. I'm taking Dennis Pitta for my tight end.
Ooh, okay. That's a good pickup. If he does anything that Jason Witten did last week,
I would expect
to lose.
Right. Well, you got three big picks to make yet. And you're still very much in this. So, who would you like as your tight end?
You know what, I'm going to stick with the sleeper, too. I like to kind of keep things I like to roll with a little bit more of a sleeper guy. I'm going to go with a pretty high sleeper here. I'm going to go with C.J. Fedorowicz, the Houston tight end, against Jacksonville. I think I'm going to roll him out this week.
I think you did that just to force me to attempt to spell his name in my notebook. Awesome.
Do
all
it.
Right.
I want to hear it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. F I E D O R O W I T Z. Fedorowicz.
TZ?
I don't know.
TZ?
There's a C in there somewhere that I missed.
There's a C at the end, before the Z.
Ah, nuts. anyway, that's a lot of letters. If I only missed one, I guess I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Miles, keep us rolling. Take a wide receiver or a running back.
All right. Let me see who's on my list. I might go a little higher tier here just because of that high sleeper with Fedora that's there. I might go against you here, and I might roll with my guy Melvin Gordon. I just think that train is just going to keep rolling.
That's all
and
right.
And he's been that good.
That's all right. Boy, I tell you what, though, if for some strange, crazy reason the Dolphins' defense decides to play really good, I'm liking my chances. But I definitely don't like the chances of that happening. I'm going to go with the running back I'm most excited about this week, both from what I've seen the last several weeks and the matchup he's got, albeit on the road. And I'm taking Jordan Howard for the Bears annihilate that Chicago Bucks defense. And put up some really big fantasy points for me, hopefully.
I like it. That's a good pick. I like him a lot.
All right. Well, you want wide receiver first crack, or do you defer?
Man, I kind of want to see what you go with first to counter it.
All right. Well, I didn't get as many wide receiver names. That's probably the smallest area of names on my list is wide receivers that I'm excited about. And most of them are big name. So I'm narrowing it down to Jarvis Landry or DeAndre Hopkins. And I think to really, you know, support my beliefs and what I said up until this point, I got to go with DeAndre Hopkins. To have one week of, you know, awesome fantasy football production here to remind us that, no, he's got that talent and he is that good. It's just circumstances or otherwise. So that's what I'm rocking.
All right. Well, with that, I might, you know what, I'm going to kind of stick down in the medium range. I might go with Jordan Matthews. I talked about him earlier. I like him a lot this week. I think he's got a good matchup.
You know, and I've got Philadelphia offense in my sleepers list. And, yes, I totally agreed with you 100% when you brought him up earlier, and then I just blanked on his name because I didn't have it written down specifically. So I completely agree with that pick. That's a great pick. Awesome. So, again, to recap, going into this week 10, Miles is fielding the team of Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Jordan Matthews, and C.J. Fedorowicz. And I am fielding the team of Joe Flacco, Jordan Howard, DeAndre Hopkins, and Dennis Pitta. As always, best of luck to you, Miles, but not too much. And thanks. I love doing the show with you every week, man.
Love it, man.
Awesome.
It's always fun.
Well, me and Miles are on to bigger and maybe better things here for the rest of our evening for the next couple hours. Either way, thank you so very much for joining us. Again, if there's any topics, questions you have, things left unanswered from the show yet, please reach out to Miles or myself or VikingsDigitalDiaries.com in general on any social media platform that you prefer. We're not too hard to find. And until next week when we do it again here in the Wednesday War Room, good luck to all you fantasy football owners out there. And most importantly, Skol Vikings!